Hi, ladies, and welcome to the Story Night podcast. I'm Jessica Campbell, and stories are my passion. It's my honor to host this podcast where real women share real stories of real hope. Each episode features one woman sharing her personal story with you. Too often, we fall into the traps of comparison and judgment, but what if we took the time to hear each other's real stories? Let's remember that we all have a story, and our stories matter. We're so glad you've joined us on this podcast journey. May you find hope and encouragement in this episode's story. Hi, ladies, and thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Story Night podcast. If this is your first time finding us, welcome. We are so glad you're here. We recommend checking out episode one, where you can learn all about Story Night and understand our history, our vision, and our purpose. And if you've been listening for a while, you know that we get to hear such a variety of stories from women, women from all different ages and backgrounds and experiences, and stories that are lighthearted and stories that are very heavy. And my guest for this episode is my dear friend Karina. I got to meet Karina because of her amazing oldest son, who happened to be practicing some drum rhythms at a park several years ago when my oldest was like a toddler. Mm-hmm. And gosh, how Hayden would have been, what, eight, nine, ten?
Maybe seven or eight.
Yeah.
At least eight, I think. Yeah.
Somewhere in that age range. And he just welcomed this little toddler into his space and taught him the drums. And I remember being so overwhelmed and impressed by this boy that I didn't know, had never met before. He could just shift gears from taking care of his younger brothers to meeting this new little toddler and attending to him, to looking at me, a stranger, an adult, with eye contact and a genuine interest to have a conversation. And I remember going home telling my husband, like, you will not believe the kid I just met. I want my son to grow up to be just like him. How do I do that? Well, fast forward, I don't know, a year later.
Yeah. I think it was at least a year.
We met and I was walking our dog, and turns out you were in the neighborhood. Now, however many years later,
yeah,
I'm blessed to call you a dear friend. You've been there for me for so many things, and I really appreciate it. And it's fun to watch all of our boys. When you put all of our boys together, they're every 3 years.
So fun. Yeah.
Right. So we've now, you've got
14.
Hayden's 14.
Yes.
11.
And
11.
8.
And then Logan's going to be 5.
Yeah.
Right. And then Luke's going to be 2. So yeah, about every 3 years when we put all the boys together.
we got it covered.
It's a fun little stair step. Okay. Well, before we get started, I was hoping you would introduce yourself to the listeners. Just tell them who you are. We now know you have 3 boys, but yes, tell them who you are and what you're doing today.
Yes. Hi, everyone. My name is Karina. I have an amazing husband, Pierce, and we have 3 boys. As you just heard, they're 14, 11, and 8. And so we are in the midst of it right now. busy with all the things.
And you have a new business.
Yes. Yeah. I recently started Brick Charcuterie. So it's super fun. We have a mobile charcuterie cart that can go to any event. So that has been so much fun.
And as we'll go through your story, ladies, you will see that the story of the career path, I mean, being a wife and a mother, I know, mm-hmm. is just forefront for you.
Yeah.
But you've also had this kind of career path going along the side that has touched all sorts of different industries.
Yeah. Like literally a jack of all trades.
Jack of all trades. 100%. So we're going to follow that whole path and how you landed there. But let's start at the very beginning.
Yeah.
Where were you born? And tell us about your childhood.
Yeah, so I was born in Portland and lived there for a few years of my life. I don't remember much being there. And from there, we moved to Vancouver and I went to some grade school there. And then when I was in 4th grade, we moved to Lafayette. And that's where really most of my, I feel like, younger memories are from. And we lived in Lafayette all through my senior year of high school. So I went to school in McMinnville. I graduated from McMinnville High School in 06. So almost 20 years, which is crazy.
And now you met somebody very important when you were in high school.
Yes, I did. Pierce and I met at the end of our freshman year and ended up running into each other a few other times after that. And really just grew up together. I feel like we've been really blessed in that way, but that doesn't come without its, you know, its challenges. And we dated mostly through high school, and then we ended up breaking up after high school and kind of going our own way. And long story short, 2 years later, we were both home for the weekend and ran into each other. And eventually we both moved back and dated for a year and got married. So we were young.
Still, I was just thinking, doing the math. How old were you when you got married?
So I was 21. Yeah, just turned 21 when we got married a few months after.
And he would have been about 21, 22 also. It's not like he's 5 years old.
No,
established or whatever.
So he was 22. So he was a year older, but we were still in the same grade, essentially, through school.
Now, there's so much more to your story, but I want to pause here for a quick moment because it's so interesting to hear the stories of those who did marry young, because there's a lot of blessing in that. And there's a lot of challenge in that. So, I mean, if you were to just boil it down to, I don't know, if somebody was getting engaged at a much younger age, you might tell them, like, encourage them in what way, or let them know this might be a particular challenge.
Yeah. I mean, I think being able to be married young was such a blessing, but there's also a lot of things I feel like ahead that you just really don't know till you go through it. And so I think for me, just in retrospect, I wouldn't change it, but definitely just knowing, for at least for Pierce and I, that there was never a back door. You know, it was like we grew up together and we both changed, you know, individually and together, but it was just kind of that choosing each other every day and choosing each other in the hard. Pierce and I just always kind of had the understanding that we're not always going to feel loving, but we're always going to choose love and choose to show our love because we made that commitment and we want to honor that.
You hit two really important points when you talked about feeling versus choice. Because there are a lot of days where we don't feel it.
Yeah.
For anything.
Yeah.
You know, I don't feel like going to work, or I don't feel like doing this mother challenge, or I don't feel like, I don't know, fill in the blank, whatever we don't feel like, but it's still a choice that you made. And you said something, that you choose each other in the hard, even in the hard moments, which is so beautiful. And it's such, you are, I think, such a great example of making that choice and being real and doing life.
And thank you.
So at this point in your story, you two are young and just a little bit out of high school.
Yeah.
Were either of you doing any college at this point, or were you working?
I had done a year at a ministry school in California, but moved back. So I think at that point, just working, and I was starting classes for nursing.
Yeah, the first of the career.
The first of the many. Yeah.
Oh, amazing. Okay, so you're starting your life together. And what was he doing?
I think back then he was welding. He's a jack of all trades as well. So it's like survival mode when you're that young, I feel like. Just really trying to make ends meet. And faith played a huge part in that. I feel like through a lot of the hard times, you know, going back to when we were talking about just choosing not only just love every day, but just like your attitude and your mindset. And I think that was really important. And growing up, it was always instilled in me just to choose joy and just be optimistic through every circumstance. And for me, personally, God played a huge part in that. And I grew up in a faith-filled home, and my dad and mom were always in ministry, and my dad worked for the state police and was the major for state police for many years until he retired. And then my mom and him started their own church. And so I think for me, that was always a huge part of my life, just being able to rely on God through those hard times. And for Pierce, you know, he didn't really grow up knowing the Lord and really came to know him through my family in high school. And so for us, not only growing up together, but growing in our faith together. And I think that, you know, really for us, it always goes back to that. We've been through a lot of hard. And I think everyone can relate to some extent to hard. And it's just like, you just have to choose, how hard are we going to let this be? I don't know if
that's
really.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's a great way to phrase it. You come up to a mountain.
Yeah.
And I love the way you said that. How hard are we going to make this?
Yeah.
You might not be able to change the mountain, but you have some control over your attitude.
Mm-hmm.
You have some control over how you work as a team.
Yeah.
Right? What tools are you going to bring to scaling that mountain?
Yeah. And that's one of the biggest things, especially recently, I've been really kind of just thinking on, is it's like, even with the boys, you know, it's like they have a hard moment. And they're like, it's been a hard day. You just had a hard day. And I'm like, well, we had a hard moment, but it's not a bad day. And so I try to remind myself that. And I think when we were younger, it was a lot harder to remind ourselves that through a lot of the things that we went through. But yeah, I think you can find something good in every situation, even in the hard.
And you're modeling that for your boys.
Thank you.
And now, when did they come along in your story?
Yeah, so we had Hayden a few years after we got married, and then they're all about 3 years apart. So Weston came a few years later, and then Deacon in 2000 and gosh, 17. I'm like, you lose track of all the years after a while.
And they're phenomenal. I mean, they are just, in my opinion, they are such the perfect balance of being like total boy boys, but still with tender hearts and kind souls, and it's just that balance. I absolutely love it. And I know
Thank
my
you.
boys think the world of your boys.
Thank you. I do love their sweethearts, and I am very proud of just the men they're becoming. Like, it's crazy just watching each of them grow over the years. Like, all the things that you instill as parents, you just really truly wanting. And, it's like, I feel like it's different being a boy mom, because it's like you love your boys so much and you want to protect them from everything and, instill all the good things into them. But then you also have to let them learn from dad and, and it's just been really cool to watch Pierce just be a really amazing dad. And he is so good at the balance between being firm dad when he needs to be firm, but it's always out of love and always going back to the conversation of, I love you and talking about, relating to life. And there's a lot of things I think that Pierce has been able to relate to with them that maybe I couldn't relate to in that way, obviously. But yeah, it's been really neat seeing all the things that you instill in your boys and pray for and all the long talks and different things you do over the years and just really start to play out. And you can see it in each of them as they get older. It's been fun with Hayden being 14 and
Teenager. I
yeah,
know.
it's
That's
crazy.
just wild.
Yeah.
A whole new chapter is starting for you.
Yeah.
Now we could go on a whole rabbit trail of being a mother to a teenage boy, but
Yes.
let's go back. Going back to your story, the other thread that's going through your life as you're building your family is this career, all these different things that are happening. As you were a young mom raising these three boys, were you home with them full time or were you still working little bits on the side?
Yeah, so I feel like mostly I was home with them, but I was always to some extent doing something on the side, whether it was coffee shops or I worked at Wells Fargo for a period of time. And then I also was able to work with Bella Casa from home. So that was really wonderful for 6 years, e-commerce. And so I've definitely dabbled in a variety of different things along the years to help make ends meet.
And you did mention that nursing school
Yeah.
was going on. So I want to circle back to that. Did you finish nursing school and then at some point go down that path?
So I've always had a passion for labor and delivery or to maybe one day get a doula license or something like that. But I didn't end up finishing. I had graduated with my associates and was looking to start a bachelor's program. Pierce ended up tearing his ACL at that time. And so he had to have major reconstructive surgery. And so I dropped out of my last class and went back to work. But honestly, I feel like that was kind of a blessing in disguise, as much as that is like, oh, I went through so much school and don't have the actual certificate to show for it, but that's fine because that kind of rolls into a whole just identity thing that I've worked through over the years. But
That is such a perfect example of what you said, though, of choosing each other in the hard. Because that's the kind of thing that could shake marriages, right? You're on a path, you want to do something, you're moving toward a goal, and you have to change. Because of something that, I mean, it's not that he did it on purpose,
No,
but there's just a life circumstances, and to support your family and to work as a team, that means you have to make that sacrifice.
And I think that that's something I can say just in retrospect that I feel like Pierce and I have been really good at is that it's always just been a team through every up and down that we've always been able to just really come back together and just know that there's good that's going to come out of it, even if we don't know what that good is or how we'll make it through or pay the next bills. But
So you almost
yeah.
have that nursing certificate, but didn't get a chance to finish that. Life took you in a different direction. Now, at some point, that passion though that you have, that nursing passion, is still doesn't go like disappear. It doesn't go away. And what's interesting is that in your story, you're going to go on your own health journey. And we might have to backtrack just a little bit to talking about the cosmetic tattoos, because that
Oh, I didn't
gives
mention that.
yeah, that gives a little bit of the background before what is going to end up happening to you.
Yeah, so while I was working for Bella Casa, as the boys were getting a little older, I was really just looking at like, is there something that I can do? Because I've always just been really arts driven and love doing hair, makeup, all the things. And I just looked into, is there something that I could do where I could serve women and work less hours, bring in more income? And so I ended up going to school for cosmetic tattoo. And graduated, did that, and was really excited to open up my studio on Third Street. And on the last day of school after I graduated, I was driving home, and it was dark and raining coming home from Portland. And I actually ended up getting in a really bad car accident where I was rear-ended and then pushed into the car in front of me. And so it was a challenge, I would say. Definitely a health challenge that came from that. So I had a brain injury and a torn, well, one torn and two bulging discs in my neck and concussion. And then it also just triggered a weird autoimmune response. And so I would say, out of all of the injuries that they could physically see, the hardest part of it was the autoimmune response. So I opened my studio. I continued to try, pushing forward, but I had 3 days set aside that were for my clients. And all of those days, it just seemed like I was at doctor appointment after doctor appointment and just really trying to figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. And I have a crazy high pain tolerance, but it was like, I think the thing that was so emotional for me was it wasn't even necessarily pain. It was just like my whole ecosystem to my body was off, and still wanted to be a present mom and the intentional wife and just myself. And I feel like there was so many days of just crying and praying and not knowing why I was feeling the way I was feeling, and no one could give me an answer. And I think that was the most frustrating thing, because I had been to all of these specialists, and each specialist just wanted to choose one symptom and then send me to the next. And so I really had to do a lot of advocating for myself and just trusting God, because really there was no answers to why I was feeling the way I was, other than, the physical ones that they found.
As you talked about an autoimmune response, there are a lot of women listening who know exactly what you're talking about because they have dealt with that and they have dealt with the hidden illness, the things that maybe the people around them think they're crazy or why do you have to have that diet or whatever. You know, they just don't get it. So for those who are listening who have never experienced anything like that, you know, those unexplained symptoms, the autoimmune responses, what were some of those things? That what was your body doing that was unseen?
I would say it's, well, what's called extreme brain fog. So it's almost like this crippling, gripping feeling up from your neck, up into your head. It's just so intense. It almost feels like a disconnect from your thought process to like your physical body. And I had extreme brain fog, extreme heaviness. I felt like maybe sandbags were in my body. Like my body would just feel heavy. And then I would go from feeling okay to, the only way I could explain it was if like a plug was taken out of my feet and all of my energy in my body was just gone, like hard to keep your eyes open. Also just, and this was the hardest one to really explain, was I'd have like the tachycardia, almost events like
With your heart.
POTS symptoms, where my heart would just race when I was sitting down, and even just standing up, like doing things that were not of any significant workout or anything. My heart would race. And then, but I think the overall one for me was just, there was an overall body, I can't even explain it, like disconnect. And I'm normally a very like fast-paced, I would say witty, upbeat person. And I would sometimes just be sitting there, and it was like, I knew I could move. I knew I could still think and talk and do those things, but it was like there was just a huge disconnect, and I just did not feel like myself. And it would almost be like a weird, eerie, yucky feeling in my body, but there was no rhyme or reason. And it would come on sometimes for weeks and then slowly, dissipate. And then sometimes it would come on really strong for like a day or two, and just very scary. It was a very scary feeling overall.
It is so scary when you have something that's undiagnosed, where you know your body and you know your mind and you know something's wrong, but you cannot figure it out. And you would like to be able to go to doctors and specialists. And if you're going to take the time for these appointments and pay the money and go through all of that, you want answers. and hopefully a plan, you know, a treatment, a cure, something.
Yeah. And I think that was the most disheartening thing for me. It was like, just holding out hope and of someone would find something and say, oh, this is why you're feeling this way, And I feel like a lot of the specialists I went to, each one of them that specialized in their own area would pinpoint, oh, well, this can cause those symptoms. And after this subsides, you'll feel better. But a lot of them would just want to kind of brush it off or prescribe me a medication. And for me personally, I did not want to take a medication. I wanted to figure out what the root cause was and why I was feeling the way I was and heal naturally. And so that was just really hard for me. And there was a lot of days where I remember just driving and like dropping the boys off at school and just driving home and crying. Like it still brings tears to my eyes because it's just such a physiological and emotional. I feel so much now for women that go through chronic illness and go through things. And it's almost like you were saying a hidden illness, or I don't want to say illness, but you know what I mean. People would look at me and probably think like nothing was wrong because I would just really try to hold it together. But on the inside, in those really tough days, I would go to bed sometimes and just pray like, God, I don't know what's wrong with me, and like just sustain me through the night. And that's horrible, but it was such a scary, eerie feeling that I just didn't know. So it was just a lot of trial and trying different things and focusing on, what I could control and just time. And it's just been a journey.
How many years now have you been on that
Gone.
journey, this health journey?
It's been almost 4, actually, because November will be 4 years. So it's wild. I'm so grateful for the people along the way. I've seen functional nutritionists that has really given me some things that have been tangible to help. The severe symptoms have gotten so much better. And I'm finally finding like maybe a little bit of a rhythm as to what is causing it to come on when it comes on. But it's definitely way further and fewer between when
So
I
at this point,
experience
at the
that.
time of this recording, you are better, but not fully healed. It's not like it's all gone. It's not like you got one answer and did one thing and it's over.
No, I never really received an answer. I saw a neurologist finally, and he told me, that I basically had, it's like a traumatic brain injury and it can cause all these array of symptoms. I also, during that time, on one of my blood work, I had a marker for an autoimmune disease, and that could, it was like a mixed tissue. And so that could be like a whole nother rabbit hole. And I just continued to feel like I didn't want to claim that, and because a lot of the specialists said, we could take labs from everyone in America, and a huge percentage of us would have a marker or a flag for an autoimmune response. And so for me, I just continue to feel like I want to just focus on things that I know I can work on. And I didn't mention this, but I have scoliosis. And so certain things can also trigger other nervous system responses. And so I'm not 100%, but the one thing that I would say is I really just felt that none of the doctors that I've been to have given me anything really tangible other than the nutritionist that I was telling you about that has helped me. And so I think the biggest thing for me has just been being really aware of my words and speaking over myself. And that's something I feel like God put on my heart probably just mostly in the last 6 to 8 months. When you go through something like this and you have to retell your story to doctors and you're telling your story to friends and you appreciate so much the help in wanting to help you through what you're going through, but also it's almost like you're speaking this, at least for me, I started to feel like it's just become part of my identity. So I started just to really try to focus on if I'm feeling a certain way, like this is kind of what I'm feeling, but I just need a little more rest. Or instead of saying like, I feel horrible, or I don't know, I feel really nervy or off. I just got tired of hearing myself saying,
Negative things.
yeah, negative things all the time over myself. And so I've just really been trying to focus on speaking healing, speaking life over myself. And
Who goes all the way back to you teaching your boys? It's not a hard day, it's a hard moment.
And
It's almost like you're having to do that for yourself at a much higher scale.
It's definitely been daily. And I think sometimes when we go through something and it's become almost part of our identity for so long, I've had enough scans and enough MRIs and enough things to know that, like, overall, I'm okay, even though maybe I don't feel okay. And so it's time to transition to I'm going to claim that I am healed. I'm going to claim that I am okay. And even if I am not feeling okay, it's okay to let myself feel what I'm feeling, but also believing for where I want to be.
There's definitely that balance there between ignoring symptoms that could be something
For
very
sure.
serious versus living in the symptoms forever. Right. And trying to find how do you come to that balance of trying to find answers and trying to heal and get better. So it sounds like you had done enough of the checks to make sure there was not something major that you shouldn't ignore.
I've had MRIs. I had a brain MRI just to make sure that everything was okay there. I've had an MRI on my neck. I've had x-rays. I've had labs. I've had testing for my heart, EKGs, all the things. And so it came to a point where I just told Pierce, I was like, I'll do what they want me to do. Like, I'll do the tests, but I'm tired of the doctors picking one thing or one symptom and sending me to do another test. And I just really wanted answers. And I know that the mental aspect to it can definitely be hard because there was days where I remember sitting at my parents' house and just crying because I felt so off and I didn't know what to do. And I felt like I had done everything in my ability to do what I could do. And even the paperwork at the doctor's offices was so daunting because of the way I felt. It was like, I can't even write right now. You know, I don't want to fill out any more paperwork. I mean, it affected my mind, my brain. I was like, I wish I could turn it off, but not having an answer and having in the beginning a lot of fear behind it. You know, as a mom, I'm like, oh my gosh, is there something wrong with me that they're missing? But I think just over time, at least for me, it's not that I can turn it off, but I've learned to recognize kind of the feeling of what's coming. It's still not fun. It's still not something that I enjoy feeling, but knowing that I'm okay and having a little bit more of tools to help me get through it when it comes on.
And I know there's several women listening who identify with all the things you're talking about and that frustration of not having answers and trying to find that balance of when to move on and stop looking. And you reach that point. And this kind of takes us to your present day and the new venture of your latest career path.
And through that time with my studio for a cosmetic tattoo, I ended up having to close that because I just couldn't be tattooing clients with my neck bent over a client for 4 hours. And then most of the time that I would have been able to be in the studio, I was at doctor's appointments. And so closed that. And I eventually now opened up Virk Charcuterie, and it's been so fun. It's just been such a fun way to be able to meet other people and connect with them. My grandma, who I was really close with, she served at a pancake house for almost, I think it was like almost 30 years, a long time. And so she was able to meet so many different people and connect with them over food. And I've always loved serving and being the party host and getting people together. And so I was kind of the go-to party girl for the family anyways, and charcuterie and all the things. And so I just really felt led to start my own charcuterie business. And so we have the cart that goes to different events, and then I do weekly boxes to local tasting rooms, and then also we'll just serve any, you know, party with a grazing table or whatever their need is. So it's been really fun.
And ladies, if you're interested, we'll put any kind of links in the episode notes.
I would love that.
It sounds like you're on a really fun new adventure. And just curious if this is an adventure just for a season, or if you see this as long term, or if you've got some other fun chapter coming.
I mean, right now it's like it's such a new season with it, and I'm really excited to see where it goes. We've had a lot of fun events that we've already been able to serve at, and more coming up. So I'm really just open to see what happens with it over time. But definitely for me, I think something that I've been focusing on lately is I've dabbled, right? Like I definitely have an entrepreneur spirit, I would say. I've tried a lot of different things, and overall, I love working with people. I love impacting people, serving people. Pierce and I have always had a heart for ministry and to serve. And I would, you know, one day love to maybe do another mission trip or serve at an orphanage in Africa. You know, I have big dreams of ministry in that way. But yeah, I love just helping people, and I love coming alongside, you know, women and just encouraging them in whatever they feel called to, because I know that for me, I've tried a lot of different things. And so yeah, so with charcuterie, I love charcuterie, but I also have a huge heart for just women. And I think over the last few months, I've really been thinking a lot about just all the things that I have tried. And I think for me, at least, it's easy to get into like the mindset of, you know, you didn't finish nursing school and you started cosmetic tattoo and you failed in that. Although, you know, I got hit by a car. It wasn't my fault, but you know, you failed, or you weren't able to accomplish in that what you know you were capable of, or you've started other things and maybe they didn't work out the way you thought. And I think for me, it can be easy to feel like, gosh, I failed, or just having that identity in what I do. But I think something I've really been working on is just that's not who I am. All the things that we do, you know, might be a part of who we are. I've just been thinking about, you know, the core of my identity is not being a charcuterie business owner or not being, you know, maybe what it would have been being a nurse or a cosmetic tattoo artist. But it's okay to fail. And I don't even want to say fail. It's okay to not maybe go through something and let it come to fruition in the way that you maybe pictured it. I think that's something that I've really worked on over the years of just knowing that like everything in my life has happened for a reason, in a season, in the timing that it was supposed to, and just being okay with letting go of what I think things should look like and being open to what God's doing, what my plan for my life is, and just knowing that we're all going through something. And it's okay if something doesn't work out the way that we originally planned. And it's okay to start over. And it's okay to be a dreamer and have multiple avenues of income, you know? And I think with me, I've always been more of a creative and loved having my own business or something that I can do from home, you know, while I'm home with the boys. And I think sometimes I've just got in my head a little bit about you failed. And so for me, that's the biggest thing I've worked on overcoming is just not looking at it as a failure, but I've looked at it as just, it was just another piece to my puzzle of who I am.
And that will resonate with a lot of listeners who have maybe tried a handful of things or a multitude of things, and it feels like they never turned out the way they wanted them to. And it's very easy to fall into that trap of feeling like you have failed, or comparing yourself to everyone else. Well, they succeeded and I didn't, or what is my identity? You've definitely touched on a lot of things that listeners can relate with. Thank you for taking time to go back through your whole life story, think about all the places you've been and what you've gone through, and just outline your journey and being willing to share that with all the listeners to offer some encouragement. I know when I very first asked you, you looked at me like, I don't really have a story. And I said, yes, you do, because that is something that we want to make sure everybody listening comes to believe, that every single person on this planet has a story, and they're different. That's what makes it beautiful. But even in the diversity, we can still find those me too moments where you've said something that somebody goes, oh, me too. I was married young, or I'm a boy mom, or I had this health issue, or I tried a bunch of different things and still haven't found my forever career or whatever. So there's all these different ways to relate, and that is the heart of Story Night. And for those of you who are new to Story Night, in addition to this podcast, we host four live events each year. And you can find all of that information on our website, storynighthope.com. And we would love to have you at our next live event. Now, normally at our live events, we record them. So if somebody can't make it or they live out of town, they can find it on the podcast later, or they can find it on our YouTube channel later. Our fall event is coming up on October 2nd. And this one's a little bit different because we will not be recording it. And there's a purpose to that. The lady who's going to be sharing her story is a survivor of sexual and domestic violence. And we want to protect her, and we want to protect her family. And so we will not be putting her name or photo out on all of our social media platforms, and we will not be recording her story. However, it is an incredibly powerful story. And if you can make it, we would love to have you there to be inspired, to be encouraged, and come together with a huge group of women at the Grand Ballroom on 3rd Street, downtown McMinnville. The doors will open at 6:30 and the event will start at 7. We would love to have you there. Over half the tickets are already gone. So jump online, get your ticket. It is free, but you do need to register in order to attend. And then you can come meet Karina, because she'll be there along with most of the other women who have been on this podcast, should all be there as well. And we would really love to have you there. And if you happen to be listening to this podcast after October 2nd, 2025, we still want you to jump on our website because you can see the information and details for whatever live event we have coming up next and get your free ticket for that one. Karina, it's been so fun to sit here and go through your story with you. A lot of it I knew because we've been friends for a while, but even in sitting and doing this, I learned new things. And I highly encourage you, ladies, take time to sit down with the women, even if you've known them for a long time. There's always parts of our stories that come up that are new. And as we wrap this up, Karina, are there any final words of encouragement that you want to give to the ladies listening?
So one of the words of encouragement that I would give is just going back to my grandma that I talked about that served at the pancake house. She always said, bloom where you're planted. And people can take that in a variety of ways. But for me, it's always just been something that I have taken to heart of wherever I'm at, whatever season I'm in, I want to just love and serve and be an encourager wherever I'm at. And I think that in every situation, in every season of life, that whether we feel like it or not, we do have some value to add. And so I just would want to encourage you that it's never too late, that you are exactly where you're supposed to be, that you do have value to add, and that you are capable of doing anything that you put your mind to. And I know that can sound cliché, but it's true. And I do really believe that every person is valuable and has something that we all need.
Well, you've said that, and hopefully a lot of women have heard this, bloom where you're planted. It's such a good one. And if you haven't heard that before, ladies, write it on your bathroom mirror and look at it every day, because we so easily fall into the trap, especially in the American culture, of wanting to be in a different garden or wanting to be a different type of flower or whatever, rather than to recognize, well, I am planted right here in this little plot of soil, and this is the type of flower that I am, and what am I going to do? I can be wanting to be somewhere else, or I can bloom. I'm here, I'm going to bloom where I'm planted.
And I think comparison can be the thief of joy. And that's something that I always try to remember is like, you're not the other person, and don't let that steal your joy, that your story is your story. So,
And with that, ladies, we want to thank you so much for tuning in to this episode. We hope you were blessed and encouraged. I want to take a quick minute to thank our state representative, Lucetta Elmer, who believes very much in the power of stories, and she is providing the platform for this season of Story Night. And thank you again, Karina, for taking
thank
time
you
to do
for
this.
having
Thank you
me.
for blooming where you're planted. I'm
Oh,
glad that
thank
your pot of soil was close to my pot of soil, and
yes,
I
me
got to meet you.
too.
Ladies, thank you for tuning in. We hope you come back and join us next time for our next story. And remember, you have a story. Your story matters, and you are not alone.